And on the third day he rose and he walked out of that tomb. And he walked among his believers. He sat down and had meals with them. He shared with them. He taught with them. You can read about that in the book of Acts. You can read about that in Galatians. Galatians is one of the people will say, well, hold, there's no definitive. That's not possible. It just doesn't happen. And that was all thought up hundreds of years later when they were rewriting the Bible. The only problem, I don't have time to go here, but the only problem they have with that is this. Paul was historically known. And Paul's writings are from this particular time. And Paul talks about the fact that he was seen by 120. Paul talks about, he gives explicit details. And this wasn't Paul writing through, you know, this wasn't somebody writing, you know, 800 years later, putting the information there. This was Paul writing a letter within less than 60 years, a short amount of time, and already the church was proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't even 50 years ago. I misspoke when I said that. It was immediately. They were being tried because they were proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from me. I hope in the Lord Jesus. There's no grave that can hold us because we hope in the Lord Jesus. He says, I hope. It's a hopeful letter. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. So this is what I hope. I hope I'm going to send Timothy to you soon. Now, so apparently they were thinking Timothy was coming. And this letter's being delivered. So this is no U.S. Postal Service, so no UPS, no FedEx, no Facebook. So literally someone had to take the letter from Paul's hand and deliver it to the church in Philippi. And so when I first read this letter, you know, first thought was, oh, Timothy's going to deliver the letter. That may have been what they thought. When they got the letter, they may have been surprised that Timothy wasn't there. He's saying, look, I hope to send Timothy to you in future, but not right now. He says this. I want to send Timothy to you again so that when I receive news about you, I'm going to be cheered. I'm going to be encouraged by what's going on. Why? Because we already got a hint of this as we're reading this book. We're reading through this letter that Paul is correcting the church. He's saying, there's some things you need to get right. And part of it is you're living for yourself and not for Christ. Part of it is you're making you the issue. You want it the way you want it, and you're not wanting it the way God, I want it. You don't have the mind of Christ, and he's calling them to have the mind of Christ. He's correcting them, and he's saying, look, when I come, or when I send Timothy, when he comes back, I want him to bring good news. I want to know that this letter had an impact on you. Listen, again, it goes back to the Word of God. If the Word of God is not read, if you and I aren't reading the Word of God on a daily basis, if we're not allowing the Word of God access into our life, it's never going to transform us. And Paul was concerned that he would write this letter and they would just not even do anything about it. But he says, I'm sending Timothy later on. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for whose welfare? Whose welfare? Your welfare. Timothy is someone who looks out for the church in Philippi. Timothy is a person who's more concerned with other people than his own. He's going to go, he's going to do what Paul asked him because he knows he's doing what Christ is asking him to do. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. Let's go on, okay? For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. By implication, what Paul is saying about Timothy is this. Timothy is someone who looks out for the interest of Jesus Christ. He wants to see the good news of Jesus Christ progress, move forward, advance. Paul is introducing us to Timothy because Timothy is an example we can follow. You know, you think, you know, part of what Paul has told us already is follow Jesus. Well, hold, time out. That's the Son of God. Come on. I mean, you know, nobody can do that. Nobody can take those big of steps. Nobody can step in and fill the steps of Jesus. He's the Son of God. How can we possibly follow Jesus? Well, then Paul said, well, then follow me. Look at my example. Look at, we've already talked about this in the preceding verses, in the part of the first part of the letter, is the idea Paul says, then follow my example. And we think, oh, hold on, wait. But Paul, you know, really? I mean, you're like this super apostle dude. You've traveled all over the world and you've planted churches everywhere. I just can't get there. I'm just a struggling Christ follower. He said, well, how about Timothy? Can you follow the example of Timothy? I think what Paul's also doing is this. He's saying, start looking around you and see if there's some people that you can follow. You know what? There's no way I could be like Paul. But maybe there's someone here at this church who's just a little bit ahead of you, who's following Christ closely, and you can see it. It's evident in their life. And he's saying, look around you, church, at the people who are following Christ, and follow them. Paul's saying there are examples of people within your own midst. Timothy is one of them. Let me read the rest of this. Okay? But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. You know it. He has served. Timothy is a servant. That's an example of what Jesus did. He served us. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And he continued the work in the gospel. He says, I hope, therefore, to send him soon. There's that word hope again. And he says, and I am confident in the Lord. There's that word. To me, that's another word for hope. Because where else does that confidence come from? It comes from this hope that he has in Jesus Christ. So Paul is, he's giving them hope. He's saying, look, I hope that the plans will work out. I'm sending Timothy later. That's not happening now. But Timothy is an example of someone who's living like Christ. He conducts himself in a manner worthy of the gospel. He's serving. He puts the interests of others above his own. He's concerned with the progress of the gospel. He's put those things ahead of him. And then Paul talks about Epaphroditus. But before we do that, you know, one of the things I just said was looking around you and saying, hey, who are the people that are following Christ that I know? How can I imitate them? I know that's a scary thing. And don't run up to somebody after church and say, hey, I'm going to start imitating you. That's a scary thing, okay? But you certainly can have a conversation with them and say, hey, look, I really want to read Scripture more, and I want the Word of God to have an impact on my life. And so if you don't, would you be willing to just read Scripture with me? Maybe once every couple of weeks, or we just get together, have a cup of coffee, let's read Scripture together, let's pray together, and let's talk about and let's allow the Word of God to transform our lives. Because we all need examples of people who are standing up and say, we trust God in all these things. We're going to take a minute, and we're going to talk about the youth are going to come up. Come on up, you guys. And what they want to share with you is something that's happening in the youth group and the good news of that. And so I don't know if this microphone's on. Oh, all of them are coming. All right. Awesome sauce. Okay. So go ahead, you guys. So you guys are getting ready for a big, huge trip, right? Leave the notes up there so that she can see them, too. Okay. All right, there we go. This was well planned and well orchestrated. Okay, go for it.
As you all know, we are raising money to go to Gatlinburg for our Extreme Winter New Year.
We have set up a table with our fundraiser in the Welcome Center in hopes to raise the desired amount of $1,500.
However, last week we received amazing news that an anonymous donor took it upon themselves to donate the entire $1,500.
Wow, that's awesome.
In account to that, we, the youth group, would like to give a huge thanks to the selfless and wonderful anonymous donor.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. There we go. You guys just smile pretty. All right. You know, when you have a hopeful outlook, when you have an attitude of gratitude, when you realize how much you're loved, then it impacts the way you're generous with your resources. And, you know, even walking up to someone and saying, hey, look, I want to study Scripture more. Would you be willing? That's a giving of their resources. Every Sunday, you know, we don't have any outside support. We support the work of this church. On Sunday morning, when we receive the offering, guess what? That money turns the light on. It turned the heat on this morning. Praise God. It turned the heat on. It keeps things going here. And so when it's out of a generous spirit. Why can people be generous? Because they know that God has been generous to them. They've recognized the grace that God has poured in their life, and they're willing to do that. And there are folks in this church. You're a very generous church. Don't ever forget that. I've seen you. I haven't been around this church a lot, but I've been around this church a lot. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I haven't been here, but I've been in the neighborhood because for 16 years I'm in California, but my mom and parents live right here. And I've heard incredibly generous things this church has done and accomplished, and it still does. And that's good news. Paul is bringing to us examples of people. He's saying, look, if you're finding this hard, look, there are examples all around you of people who are following hard after Jesus Christ. And then he begins to talk about Epaphroditus. I just love that name, don't you? Although I don't want any of my grandkids named that. I just don't think that would work. Can you imagine being in kindergarten and having to have to write that? Oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, but I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourself could not give me. Wow, this guy is a superstar. I mean, Epaphroditus, now here's the deal. Well, so when they got this, Epaphroditus is showing up with the letter, apparently, okay? He's coming back with the letter. Maybe some other folks are coming with him, but he's coming back. It's necessary that I send Epaphroditus back to you. Well, they weren't expecting Epaphroditus. Why? Because they had sent Epaphroditus from their church to take care of Paul, to see to his needs. Now, Paul's in prison, but Epaphroditus would have freedom, so he would be able to run errands for Paul, get information, bring food to Paul, bring whatever it is Paul needed while he was in prison. But Epaphroditus had freedom where Paul did not. So Paul's work could continue, the progress of the gospel could continue, because Epaphroditus was there. He had given up his day job. He had given up everything he was going to do, what his plans were, and he came and he's going to serve Paul. But then he got sick, okay? Then he got sick. He got so sick that he nearly died. Now, I want to talk about verse 26, because verse 26 says, "For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill." There are some commentators will say, "Oh, well, he was homesick." No, I don't think that's it at all. He was sick. He nearly died and recovered. And the fact that his near death and then recovery, that information got back home. And he needed to get home so that they could see. You know, there's something different about hearing it. Okay. There's something different about hearing it, that he's doing fine. He's doing great. He's doing great. But there's a difference when all of a sudden, you're home. You're okay. I can see that you're all right. There's something different, isn't there? We have FaceTime with our grandkids. You know, and they call me at the weirdest times. But that's because they're 2 hours, and they're on their way to school. And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of something. And I got FaceTime with Addie. And Addie wants to chat with me. That's great. Okay, I love that. That's a great way to stay in touch. And all those kinds of things. However, it's different when it's face-to-face. And so he was distressed. Why? Because they heard that he nearly died. And so he wants to come home to be able to make that right. And then also Paul knew that they needed to see him too, to know that he's okay. Certainly he had family members, but here's the deal. He longs for all of you. Indeed he was ill. Let's go on, verse 28. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him to you. But let's go back. Verse 25. He calls him my brother, my co-worker, and my fellow soldier. Those are not, you know, again, every word matters. Paul is saying, listen, this guy struggled with me. He was my brother through things. He sat with me during difficult times. He was my co-worker. We worked together to advance the gospel. He was my fellow soldier, and he was your messenger of good news, your messenger of support, your messenger of encouragement. We need people like that in our life, don't we? We need people to come along beside us and say, you know, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know this. I want to pray for you. I know that you have an enemy. Guess what? If you know, if you're a Christ follower this morning, guess what? You remember this? You have an enemy. People are trying to tear. There's not people. There is a person. His name is Satan, and he wants to tear you down. He wants anything that's good in your life, he wants to break apart. He wants to tear apart. Why? Because that's what he does. He is a liar. He's a destroyer. He doesn't want anything good to come of this earth. Why? Because God made the earth, and he's mad at God. And when you become a Christ follower, you put on a target. And God wants, and so we need people. We need Christ followers to encourage other Christ followers. Church, we need to stop shooting our wounded. I'll say that again. We need to stop shooting our wounded. You know why people come to church? They're broken. They're hurting. They need to know that Jesus is real. This morning we were talking about imitating Christ, be imitators of God. In our Sunday school class. And it occurred to me that, you know, we imitate the wrong characteristic of God. Yes, God is a judge. I get that. But you know what? That's not our job. He told us our job is to love him. You love him, I'll judge him, okay? You love him, I'll judge him. Don't worry about that. You love him, I'll work this out. You love them. Your command, your goal is love them. We need people like Epaphroditus who walk along beside us and become our co-worker, brother, sister, fellow soldier in the work, one who is a messenger of good news, a messenger that lifts up and encourages. And guess what? You have a word. I'm not the only one around here that likes to talk, okay? And even if you don't like to talk and you're an introvert and during we do that meet and greet time and you're like, oh, my gosh. Don't touch me, please. Leave me alone, okay? But let me just say something. You have a word of encouragement for somebody, and it may not even be a word. It just may be a head bob. It just may be a fist bump. It may be something, but you have a word. You can encourage. Paul is pointing out all these examples. Okay, I know I've taken way too much time, but let's move on. Verse 27, therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord. I love this. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Instead of, what's Epaphroditus being? What's Pat back for? Hey, what did you do? He kind of failed in the mission, you know? Didn't he know? We sent him there to take care of Paul. What's Pat doing back? You know? What's up with that? No, Paul's saying, listen, you need to welcome him with great joy and honor. And honor people like him. Paul was not just pointing to Epaphroditus and Timothy. He was pointing to other people in the church at Philippi who love the Lord. Honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. Paul is saying, look, there are people all around us. There are people sitting here this morning in church with us. Who can be our example? There are people that we know that are just a little ahead of us in following Christ, and they're doing it the way God has called them to do. Say, hey, I you don't have to. And again, it would be scary for you to go up to somebody and say, hey, I'm going to start following you. You're my example in Christ. You know, but here's the deal. You are somebody's example. Don't miss that. You and I are the only Bible some people will ever read. The way you and I live our life, you and I are the only Bible they will ever read. They're not going to pick up God's Word and read it, but they're going to watch you. And they want to know, does God love them? And the only way they're going to know that is when we love them. They want to know, is God going to forgive them for fill in the blank? And the only way they're going to know that is when we forgive them for whatever that is. They want to know, well, is God real? Can God really resurrect the dead in my life? And when you tell them about the dead that God's resurrected in your life, guess what? They come to discover that there is a God and He loves me. Paul was giving us these examples, and he was pointing it back to the church and saying, look around you. Be the example that other people can follow. Look for examples around you of people that you can follow. God, I thank you so much that your son Jesus died for our sins. I thank you so much that he was willing to set aside his glory and his theocracy, if you will, his whole being, and he was subjecting himself to the will of you. And that was this, that you loved us so much that you allowed your son to go to a cross and die for our sins. But the grave couldn't hold him, and death could not keep him from rising again. And he rose on the third day. And because he's alive, we have life. We were dead in our sins, and because of Christ, we are alive. God, because of the grace of God, we are alive. And you've called us to live it out. I pray, God, that we would do that. Show us how to do that. Encourage us to do that. To be the example someone else can follow. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song, Jesus Paid It All. I love my friend Zosh in Congo. He's originally from Congo. He would say, come eat freely from the table. Why? Everything's been paid for. God's paid it all. Grace is available to anyone here. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. So we're going to sing that. It's an old familiar hymn. It's called Jesus Paid It All. And you sing along with us as we sing it.